Hey friend, are you struggling to find consistent paid speaking gigs? Do you want to know the exact 6 steps that you can take to find and book more paid speaking opportunities in 2024? Well, we want to make that easy for you. We've created a new free resource with the help of Dan Irvin, one of our highly successful speakers on our team. Dan has booked over $100,000 in paid speaking gigs in the last few years, and his 6-step process is going to help you maximize your chances of getting booked and paid to speak in any industry. You're going to learn how to get started prospecting, master discovery calls and proposal emails, and so much more. All you got to do is go to thespeakerlab.com/steps, and we're going to send you this 18-page guide straight to your inbox. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/steps, and you're going to get that free guide. Hey, thanks for listening. You're awesome. Hey, what's up, friends? Grant Bolden here. Welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. So good to have you here with us today on episode 317. Got another awesome show for you as we are continuing our series on student success stories here at the Speaker Lab. So today we're going to be highlighting one of the more interesting folks we've had on the podcast. We're going to be talking with Rain Bennett. Now, Rain is a documentary filmmaker. He actually recently added speaking to his portfolio for a few different reasons we're going to talk about in this conversation. One of the things I really enjoy about Rain is he found a way to take a problem that he's experienced in his own career, how to tell great stories when you have limited time, money, and resources, and he turned it into an opportunity to get paid by helping others who have that same problem. So how did he go from doing a free event in a library basement to doing a national keynote in less than a year? How important does he think it is to let the world know that you're a paid speaker? And why does he feel that being a great speaker with a disciplined work ethic isn't enough to have a successful speaking career? We're going to answer all of those questions and more in our conversation. So let's get right into it. Here's my conversation with documentary filmmaker and Speaker Lab student, Rain Bennett. Enjoy. Hey, what's up, friends? Grant Bolden here. Welcome back to the Speaker Lab podcast. Today, we're talking with Rain Bennett, who is a student of the Speaker Lab and has been seeing a lot of success lately, even in the midst of COVID land that we are in. So, Rain, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to be here.
So why don't you, first of all, give us a little snapshot here of who do you speak to? What's the problem that you solve? How much speaking are you doing? How does speaking fit into your world today?
Sure, absolutely. So I'm a documentary filmmaker. That's what I've done for 15 years. And basically what that means is I have had to figure out how to tell good stories when you don't have a lot of time, money, and resources,
right?
Often none of those things. And so I had come back from making my labor of love passion project that we were able to sell in 2017 and realizing all these skills and this knowledge I had learned. And I also realized that a lot of people are suffering from the same issue. We have this whole new class of entrepreneurs and meet, you know, content creators that are struggling with time, money, and resources. They're being, pushed to have to create good, consistent content on the, you know, in the long term, and they're struggling. They don't have the time, money, and resources. And so what I do is help them understand the simple storytelling tactics they can use, especially from a documentary filmmaking perspective, to keep it simple and do that, make impactful video stories that they can connect with their audience with. Who I generally speak to through that lens happens to be communication directors and marketers, often associations, right? People who are trying to grow their communities. Initially for documentary filmmaking, I started off with nonprofits, people who have a message or a cause they're trying to share, and they're trying to either get people to sign up for their events or donate to their funds or something like that.
Yeah. Gotcha. Okay. And so how much speaking are you doing? Are you doing this more as a, my goal is to go speak, collect a check, and that's kind of the end of the transaction? Or is it more for, is it connected in any way to the documentary filmmaking that you're doing, or are these two totally separate deals?
No, absolutely. Wholeheartedly. So the goal was, I was struggling as an artist to go from project to project and start from square one each time. Yeah. When I saw that there was this gap to fill and this community to help, that's what made me start leaning into speaking. I realized that speaking could allow me to get in front of more people and impact them in a deeper capacity, right? So generally what happens is I go speak, and then often I may get hired from a person and their company who is in attendance to do a workshop or to create a video project for them. Because even though I've taught them things throughout that keynote or that breakaway session, they still may not be able to take the task of creating a 10-minute documentary or a 5-minute documentary or a video series for their company or organization. So they go hand in hand a lot. So a couple of years ago, I started a new business called 6-Second Stories to help people use these storytelling tactics in short form video to communicate their marketing messages. And so at that point, it was like, I knew I could be a speaker. I grew up in musicals and plays. I knew I could like be on stage.
Sure.
But when I saw this opportunity to impact the people I was seeking to impact in a deeper capacity, that's when I leaned all into that. I'm still very new to the speaking world. How often I was speaking, you know, it's funny because we have to kind of clarify here, like how much am I speaking? How much was I speaking before March 2020?
Sure.
And how much or what kind of speaking I'm doing now, which there's definitely an answer for that as well. So I was just starting. I got my first non-paid volunteer-based speaking gig in October of 2018. It was in a workshop, a nonprofit workshop in the basement of a public library for about 15 people.
Nice.
But yeah, and then since then, I've in less than a year was doing national keynotes, not consistently. So my plan is what I was trying to do before everything went upside down this year was to make that more consistent, which is what led me to the Speaker Lab and the Booked and Paid to Speak course.
Yeah. Gotcha. So at this point, how much speaking you mentioned? So that first gig was, at the time of this recording, less than 2 years ago in the, yeah, the basement of the library there. How many gigs since then have you done? Ballpark, how much revenue have you generated? What does that business look like?
Right. So, the thing I was struggling with most is it was hit or miss. In less than a year, I went from the non-paid basement of public library gig to $10,000 for a national keynote.
Wow.
That was amazing, right? Feel really great about that. That wasn't consistent. And that's what I was struggling with is, okay, this is great. This was a great weekend. How do I make this happen once, twice, three times a month?
Yeah.
And then, you know, I was probably doing one a month at that point. And then the beautiful thing about any of this is it all comes back to connections, right? And so, as we already said, sometimes someone in the audience may hire you for your business to do what they do. Mm-hmm. But then also you'll see people speak like, oh my God, that was great. You got to come speak at my event. And so opportunities started to arise. Some of them were webinars. Some of them were digital summits. Some of them were workshops. Some of them were other keynotes. And so I continued to do that. The amount of money I was able to generate speaking was pretty good to for a beginner in his first year to add to what he was already making.
Yeah.
What really came from it was the I guess residual income or the income that came in from that speaking gig. So not directly from the speaking fee, but that someone would talk to me, see that I could show and prove that I knew what I was talking about and that I could help them, and then hire me for, you know, a $10,000 or $20,000 video project.
Right.
So that's where it really started to come together in a you know, helping my revenue out in a serious way. And then I was like, okay, well this is where I want to lean my energy in. So at this point, just, you know, I did the calculations, just, you know, anything that came from speaking gigs or the speaker's fee itself, I've generated about $60,000 at this point, and we're at about 25 to 30 speaking gigs. And a lot of that has to do with a big change that I made this year in the current pandemic climate that we're in.
And we have opened that loop. We're going to close that in a minute. So hang tight with us for that. Sure. Cause I don't know where that's going, but I'm curious. So I'm curious though, let's go back in time though. So you were a documentary filmmaker. Were you doing that full time, or is that just kind of a side hustle?
I graduated college in 2005. In 2006, I started my production company and have been doing that full time ever since.
Any particular like genre of documentaries?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that because it leads me to really where I am now, but it always tended to fall into the health and happiness space is what I call it, health and wellness. So my personal projects were always about health, and that could be environmental, social, community health, or physical health.
Yeah.
And then my clients, being a documentary filmmaker, a lot of them happen to be nonprofits. So I was doing a lot of projects, documentaries for cancer foundations and things like that. So I always found myself in this health and wellness space. And what's funny, Grant, is that when I was a kid, I was an athlete. and I was an artist. And I fought so hard to keep those, you know, two identities separate and compartmentalized because I didn't see anybody that was both of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I fought that for my whole life until about 2017, where I realized I did a lot of self-work and had some coaches and mentors. And I realized, oh, that's actually a really unique intersection, right? That's a really niche path, a health and wellness filmmaker. Why have you not been leaning into that? And as soon as I did, that's when things started to click. That's when opportunities opened up and maybe my vision opened up and I was able to see like this group of people that I could help based off the skills, knowledge that I had built up, you know, bootstrapping documentaries for 10 years.
Right, right. So you're creating documentaries and you mentioned like part of the reason that you started to be interested in speaking was some of it was networking and some of it was perhaps lead generation. But there's obviously, there's a lot of different ways that you could network or generate leads for your business. And so what was it about speaking that you felt like that really checked some boxes for you?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we all know if anybody is a speaker, like it's a rush. Like my job as a documentary filmmaker is to tell human stories, right? And I really gravitate towards heartfelt, poignant human stories. It's all about people, man. I'm all about people. And so I can't lie. Like I love seeing someone being able to unlock something or go to the next level. When I was in the fitness space, I used to teach people, no matter what thing that I'm able to grasp, I've always been able to convey it. That's a skill set that I've had no matter what the topic is. And I enjoy seeing people go from 1 to 2, 2 to 3. But to be honest, like it is that human connection, being on stage and eyes on you. And then afterwards, people coming up to you like, oh my gosh, that made me think about my dad. And you know, that was amazing. Like that moment of human connection, this is what storytelling is all about, right? Like we're emotionally connected on a heart level and a head level. It's a buzz, man. It's a rush. And I love people. That sounds so like broad and cliche, but like I'm here to fight for those that need help getting to the next level.
Sure. So as you are, and as a quick side note, I would think that being a documentary filmmaker, a filmmaker of any kind, helps you to tell better stories from stage and helps you to craft and create a talk. Cause you know, the kind of the emotional journey that you want to be able to take an audience through. And I guess one of the unique things about being a speaker is that whenever someone's watching one of your films, most of the time you never get to see them watch it. You never get to see their reaction. I don't know. Are they laughing? Are they crying? Are they annoyed? Are they disappointed? Are they paying attention? But whenever you are giving a live speech, you get that real time feedback immediately. So do you feel like being a filmmaker has helped you to become a better speaker?
100%. I mean, absolutely. You understand the concept of storytelling, the ebbs and flows, the roller coaster ride that it is, and how that it can't just be boom, 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 boom. You got to pause and let it breathe. You know, you got to give it some space. What makes drama and conflict, you know, what pulls out human emotions, what characters, you know, people latch on to, all of that stuff. So absolutely. I mean, I did the apprenticeship method. You know, I learned under documentary filmmakers, and then I just went and started trying to make my own projects. Then I was able to start getting clients as I went on. And the more and more you do it, the more and more you understand what makes people tick and what stories unlock certain things from people. So 100% that helping me with my speaking and understanding how to deliver a speech, because a speech, you know, in itself is a journey, is a story you're taking people on. Like it has its own ebbs and flows.
Right. So you do that first gig in the basement of the public library, just a free gig. Was that where you really started to make the mental shift of like, okay, I want to do more of this, or that happened before and then the library was kind of the first thing you booked, or what was that kind of timeline like?
Totally. So that was, okay, I love this too, because here's where things started to click for me is it's, you know, you can't wish it into existence. Maybe something happens by fortune or luck, but you got to make a plan to do it. Right. And so this was the first instance of me like setting a target like a long-term plan. So I already decided I want to start doing more of this. This is a way that I can help people. I had a new business, et cetera, et cetera. I had a premise and a thesis and thoughts that I wanted to get out there in the world. In April, I saw an ad for a nonprofit communicator conference that was happening 1 mile from my house in Durham, North Carolina. Oh, okay. Well, we're going to go to that and we're going to try to meet people and we're going to learn. And I did. I made some connections. You know, one or two of the people were on my podcast. nothing really, no clients came from it that day, but I got on their email list. When their emails come out, because they did luncheons in the fall, like free like workshop luncheons, and they surveyed the people on their list, like, hey, what would be some good topics? I was like, what about storytelling for nonprofit, video storytelling for nonprofits? What I do? And they're like, yes, in all caps. So I got that. Now, my real goal was to get the conference gig the next year. Get in there, not being pushy and jumping out the gate like, hey, I'm nobody that you know, but let me speak at your conference. Yeah. But I, you know, I saw an opportunity. I got the free gig, knocked it out of the park, because at the end of the day, you still got to do your job well, right? Yeah. To be invited back. And I didn't even have to mention it. The director asked me at the end of the free comp, you know, free workshop, if I would wanted to speak at the conference the next year. So that was the first time that I had set a plan, a course into action, and like saw it happen and saw the dominoes just fall down. And I was like, oh, there's a strategy to this. Like, it's not just, oh, hey, you know, Ray, you know, he's a speaker. I will say, though, putting it out there too was a huge thing, like letting people know this is a way I'm serving people now, like putting it out there to the public, like I'm speaking now. But getting that first one was huge. It also allowed me to take the steps to get my website ready, to start doing, like I said, outward marketing, outward communication about what I'm doing now. And then the first big success that I had, that $10,000 keynote, that next year in the summer, they came to me. They came to my website. So all of these things were put into place, but it wasn't until I realized that, like, okay, I have to take certain steps to make this happen. Yeah. I can't just say I want to be a speaker. I know it sounds silly, but it's like a lot of us do it. I want to be a writer. I want to be a speaker and have these dreams, but they don't put the steps forward. You know, you got to establish your goal and then work your way backwards so you can find out what's the next step I take.
Right. Hey friends, I got a question for you. Considering where you are in your speaking journey, what are your next steps to take your speaking career to the next level? If your answer is, I have no idea, or I have too many ideas, I don't know where to start, let me give you what I believe is the best next step that you can take. I want you to book a call with the Speaker Lab team today over at thespeakerlab.com/coach. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/coach to see if our personalized coaching program is right for you. We have helped literally thousands of speakers from all over the world find and book more speaking gigs, and we'd love to see if we could help you as well. Our personalized coaching program features done-for-you websites, done-for-you demo videos, weekly coaching calls, access to all of our educational content. We find speaking leads specifically for you, and so much more. You've got the talent. You've got the drive. Let us give you the plan to execute. All you got to do is book your call today by going to thespeakerlab.com/coach. Again, that is thespeakerlab.com/coach. You mentioned that just putting yourself out there and letting people know what it is that you do really moves the needle and has really helped you. So I'm curious for you, two things. One, how did you go about doing that? Because it's one thing for someone to, you know, it's easy for us to say like, oh, just put yourself out there. It's like, yeah, what does that mean though? So for what sure. did that look like for you? And then how did that actually help move the needle?
Absolutely. And you're very right about that. I mean, and so I don't want to be vague about it. Social media is the first and like easiest way, like to start to make it a hybrid of my personal life and what I'm professionally doing. But I also started writing around this point. And I had, you know, telling my stories, being vulnerable and sharing my stories. Now I had the opportunity and got published by Huffington Post at the end of 2017. That led to a local publication column, a weekly column, which I'm still doing. I've probably done 150 entries over the past, you know, 2.5-3 years. And the goal of that was to open up the curtains and show, you know, be vulnerable and show people what I've been doing and the missteps I've taken, the struggles that I've dealt with, the obstacles that I've overcome, telling my story, right? Yeah. And that was a huge key, just opening up and being honest and vulnerable and telling people like, just putting it, you know, telling people what you want to do. A lot of times you'll see people tweet just like, hey, this is just an accountability tweet that I'm putting out there. I want to do this by January. Mm-hmm. And people support that. Like people want to see other people win, you know, yeah. But if you can be vulnerable and not arrogant about it and be honest and transparent, that to me has been one of the keys that unlocked a lot of things.
Gotcha. Forward. So you do that first public library gig and just going like, okay, this is awesome. I want to do more of this. How do you kind of figure out, what was the process like for you to figure out who you would speak to and what is the problem that you would solve? Because that's it's a challenge for so many speakers, is you just feel like, it's kind of like if you said, I want to be a filmmaker. It was like, that can look a lot of different ways. But if you say, I make action and I make romance and I make comedy and I make documentaries, it's just kind of like, I don't know if you can be good at any one of those things by trying to do all of the things. So How did you figure out for you, this is who I speak to, and this is the problem that I solve?
Absolutely. Great question. So true. First of all, it's figuring out like what I call, I went through this process. I use this now to help people, called finding your unique intersections. I had a coach and mentor that helped me do this. And that's that point in 2017 where I was like, oh, you know, health and fitness and storytelling and artists can actually go together in a really unique way. So that allowed me to carve out a lane of people that I could serve in a certain capacity. In terms of speaking, that is something that took me a while to learn. And it's something that's currently constantly evolving, I would say. And I'll be honest with you, because I think that you say this in the book too, but you know, a lot of what you say in the beginning of any Speaker Lab materials is establishing those categories that people speak to. And mine landed on associations. And that made so much more sense, because I'm not the storytelling speaker that at this point in my career, I'll say, but maybe ever, you know, because of my lane that I've carved for myself and my personal unique experiences that give me my unique take on storytelling, I'm not at Coca-Cola, you know, corporate events talking to them. I'm at National Association of Realtors. I'm at US Sailing. I'm at this Triangle nonprofits, right? I'm at these groups of people who are one, trying to grow their communities and connect with other people. And that's a major result of good storytelling, is growing and strengthening communities. And so, could I speak to the educational crowd? Sure. I mean, there's a possibility there. Corporate crowd, sure. And I do some of that. A lot of the association events lead to corporate workshops that I do internally. Yeah. But that's really where I land now. And you know, your course helped me with that.
Well, how did you first come across the Speaker Lab? How did we come into the mix?
You know, when I decided I wanted to be a speaker, you know, more like a real speaker, right? I you know, you got to do your due diligence. Like I just started absorbing as much information as I could, reading every book I could, articles, making Google alerts on my Gmail so that I get things about, you know, storytelling speakers or whatever, learning who the other people were. Yep. And then I found the podcast. I found the Speaker Lab podcast. I'm not sure what led me to that. Could have been Pat Flynn episode or something like that. But like, I saw that connection, looked at the episode. I remember this too. I remember where I was in DC. This is funny tangent, working on a video for a nonprofit that was rebranding, that job came from the nonprofit gig that I was talking about. Side note, that's tangent. Cool. But anyway, but I that's where I found it. And I was walking to get some lunch in DC, and I saw the show, or I heard the episode, and I looked at you know, on iTunes or on Apple Podcasts, you can see like see all episodes. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking at the episode titles. I was like, oh, and I just started downloading like 7 or 8 of them, and I was just saving them for later to listen to, because all the topics were like, oh, I want to know how to speak to you know, high schools. I want to know how to, you know, what to charge for my speaker fee, all that stuff. So that's where I found it and just became a listener at that point.
Very cool. So once you are starting to figure out, like you get clear on, I want to speak to associations, I want to help them on storytelling, mm-hmm. it could potentially lead to other projects. What are you doing at that point to be able to find and book gigs? Where do you go from there?
Struggling. That's what I'm doing. I'm still at the point where I'm not sure how to make it a business, right? I'm not sure how to. I knew that setting up a plan would do it. And so I was doing little steps, right? Getting the website ready, getting some jobs here and there. When I got the jobs, making sure I got great video, you know, and photos taken of the event so I could use it in my material. But, you know, I'm struggling with what a lot of people are struggling. I'm running a business. I'm making creative films. I'm raising a family. I'm writing a book. Like, I just didn't have the time to consistently do it and learn the business of it. That's what I was struggling with. And so this is the problem that ultimately led me to seek out the course after hearing about it on the podcast, was because I was like, all right, Rain, like, you've done this a few times now. You get great feedback every time you do a great feedback. I, at this point, like, my confidence is high. I know I'm good. I know I can do this. And I know it works. I know it helps people. And I know it generates more leads for me. And everybody ends up happier. How do I make this happen consistently while I'm juggling all these other things? That's a problem I still struggle with, Grant, every day. And so I debated, you know, I was hearing about the course and I was like, oh, you know, I don't know if I should do it. You know, I'm naturally just one of those like tough it out, grind it out type of guys, but you can't rely on discipline alone. You just can't, especially when you're trying to do other things. And so, you know, 2019 was a great year for my speaking. 2020 started off great, probably for everybody. And so it was the beginning of this year when I was like, all right, no more playing around. You got this. You're good at it. It's working. You know, what do you got to do to make it happen more often and consistently, sustainably, so that you can project into the future and see what might happen. And that's what you can build off of, you know, just wishing and hoping and getting a gig here and there is not a system, right? And I've learned through my life and work that it's all about that plan and that system. And that's what made me seek out the course made that choice. I think it was January, you know, end of January of this year. And then, you know, a month later, the world flipped upside down.
So what did you do since then? Since we opened that loop earlier. So you've got some momentum, things are going okay. And then the world decides to close, and still to be determined what's going to happen from here. So what happened? What are the pivots that you made that have worked out well for you?
This was a big moment. First of all, I wanted to say that I felt bad and I empathize with all my speaker friends that I had made that were full-time speakers, because that was a big blow. For me, fortunately, my main source of revenue is my video production, is documentary films. And so all the traveling I had done recently, shooting content for clients, was in the can, and I had months of editing work to do ahead of me, so I could do that at home. And my speaking career, you know, wasn't this thing where I was, you know, banking on it just yet. It was extra. It's been extra for me the past year and a half or so. Right. But I didn't want to lose that momentum. I just, you know, invested in a new course. This was my year, right? I wanted to make it happen this year. And I gotta give credit to Eric on this, man. Like, Eric is, first of all, let me pause and say, like, I love all your team. Like, you know, you're great. Rick, I love with all my heart, and Eric has got to be one of the most transparent people that I've seen in terms of just putting out the steps that he takes to achieve something, which is great. It's invaluable. And I remember he was talking about how he pivoted to virtual, and literally, I think I probably took his like transcript on this, as he talked about how he proposed his virtual presentations to existing clients. When you can't go wider, things are, you know, it's always better to go deeper with the clients that you already have. And he said, you know, he basically told us, I think it was on a podcast or one of the videos, that, like, you know, what he said to clients, what he charged, you know, the percentage of his normal rate, et cetera, et cetera. I stopped that moment. And the last keynote that I did before this all happened was in February, for U.S. sailing. It was in San Diego for about 500 sailors. It was amazing. I mean, amazing keynote. I got off of that with such a buzz, and then, you know, we crashed. Yep. So I reached out to them. I reached out to other clients and said, hey, I'm developing this. You know, I've heard from other clients that they're needing, you know, material content like this. I'm developing a presentation about how to, you know, use storytelling to connect in the pandemic, in this virtual environment, because the sailing organizations all over the country, they're suffering. Like, everybody is, like, right, everything's upside down for people. They don't know how to go forward. So that was the first thing that I did, and they did pick up on it. They weren't able to pay for it. And so I said, okay, well, let's just make it like an Ask Me Anything, a live Q&A, because then I don't have to prep for it really that much. Sure. And I can justify it. And then people followed up with story coaching from that gig. So story coaching is one thing I started to do, which picked up the slack, and that picked up in a major way. One-on-one Zoom calls, just helping people tell their stories. And then what really did it was I have a client that I've worked with for 10 years. This is the part about going deeper with the clients you already have a relationship with. And I've created documentary films for them for 10 years and video content. Well, we were forced to pivot. We couldn't travel, as I said earlier. And this idea, this concept of how can we continue to make content for people to, this is a cancer foundation, to raise awareness and educate people on this rare cancer now that we can't create these videos that we've been creating for so long. Yeah. And that shifted into this virtual weekly talk show where I'm the host, and it's a weekly speaking gig. It's a weekly moderating hosting gig where I host experts in this rare cancer. And I play the part of the everyday, you know, the lay person, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm the moderator and I help field the questions. And that's something they were able to get a corporate sponsor for, which, you know, helped them and paid for the series. And now from right here where I'm sitting, where I'm talking to you, it's on Thursdays from 12 to 1. I just got done shooting a couple of hours ago doing this project, which allows me to speak every week with a different person to roughly the same audience, but continue to get better at presenting. That's what it is. Absolutely like saved me and is a creative way that we may not even go back from. I mean, this is reaching thousands of people around the world. If they did a conference or created a video and tried to reach that many people, it would cost so much money, right, to reach a fraction of the people. And we're able to do it just from a quick Zoom call. So, thinking of creative ways that you can still serve the audience and still serve the audience in the way that you do, but finding a different vehicle, I think was crucial for anybody, and it saved me.
Yeah, very cool. So it sounds like, you know, in the you're still just you know, a couple of years or even less than into your journey, and you're still figuring it out. You're still making pivots and adjustments as you're figuring it out yourself, but also like as the world is shifting and markets are evolving. So what advice would you give to someone who is maybe where you were 2 years ago or is in the thick of it now and saying, you know, I started around the same time and I'm wondering what to do and how to pivot and where do we go from here? And so what would you say to that speaker who's still just trying to, at any stage, trying to build that momentum up?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, so much of it is psychological. One of the key takeaways from one of my keynotes, even though we're talking about video marketing and video storytelling, is inaction is the enemy. Like, so many people, for so many reasons, don't take action because either they're scared of failure, they have analysis paralysis, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. The first thing you got to do is just start, just go for it. And a lot of the reasons why we as people struggle with that is things like imposter syndrome, things like, you know, seeing people that have had success doing it and thinking they have something that we don't. When I started speaking and meeting mentors of mine in the storytelling and the speaking space, I realized they're not different from me at all. Mm-hmm. They've just been doing it longer, right? They just have a plan and they started sooner and they've been doing it longer. There's no innate, inherent superpower that they have that I don't have. And a lot of people think that. It sounds silly, but a lot of people think that. So the first thing is believe in yourself. Like, yeah, believe in yourself, think about who you're trying to serve, and then find ways to do that easily. You know, find easy, small wins just to get you going, because that's going to build your confidence. And as a speaker, I mean, I would argue in anything, confidence is such a huge part of it. But as a speaker, you've got to know that you're great at what you do. Yeah. You're always going to have those voices in your head, but the only way you can combat them is by saying, no, I help those people. They tell me that I help them. They tell me that I'm good. So start small, like be open to connection and opportunity. Start where you can. You know, when I saw that nonprofit ad, you know, for the conference come across my Facebook page and it was a mile from me, you got to take action. I bought a ticket that day. Yeah. And I went to it and I planted the seeds of a plan that took, I mean, ultimately another year to yield, right? I mean, I got the luncheon gig, but that wasn't the real goal. The real goal was to get at the conference the following year, which I did because I nailed that. So the basement gig was just a step in the process. So you just got to start and start now and start where, when, and how you can. Baby steps, baby. Baby steps.
Yeah. Very well said. Rain, thanks for the time, man. This was a lot of fun. If people want to find out more about you and what you're up to, where can we go?
Yeah, man, easiest place is rainbennett.com. There's not a lot of Rains or Rain Bennett's in the world, so on any of the social media platforms, you can probably find me and stop by. I live this. I love this. I'm happy to talk to people. Even now in the pandemic, I've been offering free consultation calls to get us started and see if we want to work together. But I love this stuff. Stop by and say hello and say what's up.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ryan. We appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
All right, there you go. Hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Speaker Lab podcast. And before you take off, don't forget, if you haven't already, make sure you subscribe to the podcast. Leave us a rating and review within iTunes. We read every single one of those. It helps other people to find the show. Listen, we don't charge anything for you to listen to these. We don't have any ads or anything. We do this because we want to serve and support speakers like you. So one small favor we ask of you is that you would leave us some type of a rating and review. Again, we really, really do appreciate that. If you're looking for more help, support as a speaker as you build and grow your business at whatever stage you're at, don't forget to check out thespeakerlab.com, thespeakerlab.com. We got a ton of free resources and tools over there. So again, check it out over at thespeakerlab.com. All right, my friends, that wraps up today's episode. We appreciate you hanging out with us. We'll catch you next time. You're awesome.